Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. 22 years ago, in its now famous Leandro ruling, the North Carolina Supreme Court declared that every child in the state has a constitutional right to a sound basic education. Today, tragically, that ruling has never been fully complied with or enforced, and as a result, many North Carolina counties still come up woefully short of meeting the constitutional standard. Last year, in an effort to give new meaning to the original ruling, a state court judge with continuing jurisdiction in the case ordered an expert national firm known as WestEd to conduct a comprehensive study of North Carolina school systems in order to determine what would be necessary for the state to comply. Late last year, the report was finally released, and earlier this week, one of the state's top education advocates, Matt Ellenwood of the North Carolina Justice Center's Education and Law Project, joined me in studio to discuss WestEd's findings and what happens next. Well, Matt Ellenwood, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Good to be here, Rob.
So, wow, it's a really important time in the public education world in North Carolina. We've come to sort of a crossroads. For years, North Carolina has struggled with inadequate investments in its public schools, and we've seen sort of the effects of that as we've had some trailing off in our performance in recent years. Now there's this thing that we've been reminded of called the Leandro Court decision, which is a case that goes back decades. Looks like it's going to have an impact again on the debate over public education. Can you tell our listeners what the heck that was about and why it's become a big deal again?
Sure. Well, Leandro is our state's version of a school funding or school resources and teacher quality lawsuit. It's based on the constitutional provisions that we have here that are actually, we're very fortunate in North Carolina that education was always really high priority of
right.
the framers of the Constitution. We have really good constitutional language. Like you said, I think people have sort of forgotten about it because if what has happened over the last decade wasn't a really serious violation of the constitutional standards, then what is?
What the court said in 1997 was that every child in the state has a constitutional right to a sound basic education, right?
Right. And I think that we've seen backsliding in that, obviously, over the last 10 years. I think there's been a lot of back and forth about the extent to which we've really cut funding. I think this put some of that to rest. Just to back up a little bit about what the report is and who made it. I mean, this is something that comes out of the court order. It's really nationally viewed as important because these are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities where you get these sort of reports where experts do a really deep dive into your education system. It's very expensive to conduct these. It's very time-intensive. They go around and they convene panels of principals and teachers. And
But this was ordered by the court. The court in this existing 20-some-year-old lawsuit said, we got to know what the situation is, and they ordered this very in-depth report to really assess where things are with our schools. Right?
Right, and it's something that you don't get often. The legislature is very unlikely to do something like that because it costs money, because they don't want to self-analyze the extent to which they're underfunding or not providing the resources we need in our education system. So it's rare to get this, and really it's something that provides a roadmap for all kinds of things. It's not just about funding. It's about how we prepare teachers. It's about how we distribute resources equitably. It has huge implications for low-income kids, for English learners, students with disabilities. And the one that hasn't been talked about enough, I think, is for rural schools, which is a lot of ways what Leandro was originally about. A lot of the original counties that brought the lawsuit were rural counties that were underfunded. This is something that could have really huge implications because we've had population losses and things like that in our rural areas that have really exacerbated some of these funding cuts that have happened at the state level. So really in our low-income urban areas and in our rural areas, the report's findings are really where that's most important.
Talk to us about just the basic question of adequacy of funding of public education. Obviously, there are those who defend what's been going on in North Carolina, saying, oh, it's just a matter of being smart with our investments, but we don't need to spend any more money. But it's clear that in many, many school districts in our state, facilities are crumbling. They can't keep the teachers. Performance is poor. It seems pretty self-evident that we've got to invest more in those areas. Is that basically what we're finding in this report?
I think it confirms a lot of what parents and teachers have been saying for the past decade, where you can sometimes have funding cuts that are hard to notice, but that really hasn't been the case over the last decade here, where we don't have fundamental things in the classroom that we used to have. We have about a third fewer teaching assistants than we had before. We have fewer teachers per student. And then really obvious things that people have noticed, like we have textbooks that students have to share, can't bring home. We have teachers having to pay for all sorts of materials, unable to make copies. So we're missing a lot of those fundamental things. But what I think this report does is takes those anecdotes that we've all seen in schools across the state and connects them to decisions that have been made at the state level around funding and the way those funds are distributed.
And it should also be noted, I think, that sometimes there's this argument, well, we waste all the money on bureaucracy and state officials in Raleigh, but the statistics show North Carolina actually spends less than just about any state when it comes to administrators and professionals at the central office level or at the Department of Public Instruction. Those offices have been pared down as well, right?
Right, and with probably less outcry than from some of the other cuts because it's harder for people to understand what they do. I think it's another good thing about this report is it holds up the sorts of things that the Department of Public Instruction does when it's functioning really well. What you really want to have are teams located at the district level and at the Department of Public Instruction who are experts on turning around low-performing schools who can go around and provide supports. And we've had that in the past, and we've cut it. No one's really made a big deal about cuts to something like the Department of Public Instruction, but the report makes clear that it's had huge implications in the way that we train teachers and principals and try to retain them, provide them with supports on techniques they can use to turn around low-performing schools. That's really gone away, and we don't have much in terms of supports for low-performing schools anymore. We have things like the Achievement School District. We've taken over one school and handed over to a for-profit charter management company that actually did worse than the school did before. So we really don't have a coherent plan for how we're going to help kids in these low-performing schools.
So what happens now? We've got this report that's come out from this team of experts. They've invested tremendous amount of resources in really digging down and knowing all the details of our public education system. But how can we be assured this isn't just going to be sitting on a shelf somewhere and gathering dust? How is this going to now really have an impact going forward?
It's a good question. I mean, I think there's limits to what the court can probably do. I think the court can call out something for being unconstitutional. It can order remedies. It's a question of how specific they can get in terms of how much, you know, ordering the legislature to do things like appropriate money. But there's a lot of policy changes in there that don't cost money. Things like, you know, getting rid of master's degree pay or, you know, that cost very small amounts of money to restore.
Which is
change the accountability system. There are things that can be done that can be ordered by the court that actually don't cost any money. But really what I think will happen is in the end, the legislature does have to do this, that we have to have the will, both in the public and in the people who represent us, to implement these findings, because this is important. This is about the strength of our education system, the way that we're preparing our children for the future. So we ought to all get behind this. I think a lot of people anticipate a fight, but to me, it's not a great place to make a stand. These are really good recommendations that we're really fortunate to have, that were done by some of the biggest experts in the country doing a lot of in-depth research that we've never had, and we ought to have a lot of support, bipartisan, behind supporting some of these. And we have seen that, where the State Board of Education was complimentary to
going
forward.
Which is a bipartisan group, not just one party or the other.
Right, so we did see some of the normal partisanship in the reactions to the report, but I think you could see there was also some willingness to at least look into the recommendations and take them seriously while trying to defend some of the actions that have happened over the past decade that got us into this situation.
As we try to imagine what the process might be like, is there likely to be someone who's overseeing this process? Might the court appoint someone to sort of shepherd this through? I mean, we could even get to the point, I presume, where there could be a constitutional debate about how far the court can go in directing the legislature to spend the money that's necessary. Are these things that are debates that are probably out there in the horizon?
I think so. I would expect it to be an iterative process where this is just the WestEd report that was done as a, you
can
look
as the company.
Yeah, the company. And it's, you can look at it as sort of a piece of evidence in the case, a big piece. And it's a roadmap of how we, fix the constitutional violations that we think are there, that the report concludes are there. But next step would be for the court to do an order. The parties have been working on a consent judgment, but we expect that would be pretty soon. It'll probably require a plan to remedy these constitutional violations that have been laid out to be developed, and there will be some check-ins on that. And so I would expect, an iterative process where we're going back to court to check on progress in meeting this, because this is a long-term thing. It doesn't say you have to put billions of dollars in the system tomorrow. It's a plan that goes out over 8 years. It suggests increasing funding and making a lot of these changes incrementally, and it lays out different paths you could take in trying to implement all the different recommendations. So I would, expect it to keep going back and forth. We don't know if, the legislature were to intervene in the case, or it could, it could go to the Supreme Court at some point. Right now it's in Judge Lee's courtroom. So a lot could happen, but what I'd hope to see is that we could begin in this next legislative session to make a down payment on some of this stuff, and that we could begin to get on track and start complying with some of these recommendations to undo the constitutional violation that's been found right now, even though it is going to be a long process that takes years to accomplish.
And while money isn't everything, it is probably worth reiterating the point that North Carolina, when you look at our effort, how much we're really spending compared to what we've got in the way of resources compared from state to state, we're like 48th in the country, right?
Right. We're always in that bottom 5 to 10 states in terms of effort. If we had average effort, the exact same type of effort that you see across the states, and we'd have about $3.5 billion more dollars to spend on education just from being average in terms of the level of effort.
Which would be huge. I mean, that would be a huge bump in what the state is laying out for public schools.
It would be about a 40% increase. So that would be transformative. I mean, that's going to pay for things like textbooks and materials and more teachers in the classroom. And you know, having the resources we need to retain those teachers and provide them with professional development. This stuff costs money. The education system's primarily people. You know, it's teachers, counselors, nurses, therapists, obviously principals and assistant principals. All of these things do cost money if you want to provide the services that we need for kids. But there's a reason why people talk about it as an investment. It's something that provides a huge return for the state. I mean, that's another really interesting thing about the report is it goes back and talks about our history of the investments that we made in the 90s and 2000s in education and how much they paid off in terms of student achievement. And I think how much it supported the growth of the state and the attractiveness of the state as a destination for people who move here. And it's amazing that we went back on that.
Right. The retreat we've had over the last decade is obviously going to have a negative reverberations for years to come unless we get serious about some of the recommendations here.
That's right.
Well, Matt Ellenwood, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for all the amazing work you do to fight for our public schools in North Carolina at the North Carolina Justice Center's Education and Law Project. Keep up the good work, and hopefully when we get back together in a few months, we can talk about some of the progress that's on the way from this new report and in the Leandro litigation.
Certainly hope so. I think I'm optimistic. It's a exciting time to be working on this.
Coming up next, a look at how North Carolina lawmakers can still close the state's yawning health insurance coverage gap. Stay with us.